But the truth is, I was arrested for failure to pay parking tickets.
Parking tickets?
And I ran all the way here from the Polk station, the police station.
What were you doing before you were arrested?
I was painting my apartment.
Is it dry now?
I hope so.
Jay says you're pretty determined.
Oh, he's been waiting outside the front of the building with some 40-pound gizmo for over a month.
He said you're smart.
I like to think so.
And you want to learn this business?
Yes, sir, I want to learn this business.
Have you already started learning on your own?
Absolutely.
Jay.
Yes, sir.
How many times have you seen Chris?
No, I don't know. One too many, apparently.
Is he ever dressed like this?
No. No. Jacket and tie.
First in your class? In school? High school?
Yes, sir.
How many in the class?
12. It was a small town.
I'll say.
But I was also first in my radar class in the Navy, and that was a class of 20. Can I say something? I'm the type of person, if you ask me a question and I don't know the answer, I'm gonna tell you that I don't know. But I bet you what, I know how to find the answer, and I will find the answer. Is that fair enough?
Chris, what would you say if a guy walked in for an interview without a shirt on? And I hired him, what would you say?
He must have had on some really nice pants.
That was a clip from the movie The Pursuit of Happiness. And it's based on a true story about a man named Chris Gardner. And Gardner had invested heavily in this medical device, and he was struggling to sell them because they're a little bit better than an x-ray, but much more expensive. And so in this process of selling these machines, his wife leaves him. He loses his apartment, and he's got a young son. And so he's trying to get this unpaid internship. And he has 6 months to outcompete the other people in this internship. And he has to still sell those medical devices so he can find a place to live. That interview was his one shot. That was his one opportunity. And he took it, even though he didn't have a shirt on. I know a man who had an argument with his brother. And they were arguing over family stuff, and he stopped talking to his brother for 3 years. And then he got word that his brother collapsed, and he rushed to the hospital, and he was too late. His brother died, and he wept at the funeral over his missed opportunity to talk things out with his brother, to ask forgiveness, to make things right between his brother. He had an opportunity, and he missed it. Have you ever missed an opportunity? What was your excuse? What was your reason? Well, you were busy. You have so many things to do, and I'll do that later. But then you don't. You're tired. And if I just had a little bit more sleep, then I could clear my brain. And maybe yours was about information. Well, I just need more information, and you get some more information. Well, it's not enough information, and you need some more information. And you're gathering tons of information, but you don't make any decisions, and you miss your opportunity. Maybe it's because you're insecure. Well, I don't think, if I try, I don't think. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's all of the above. Maybe it's something different. What opportunities have you missed? How can we keep from missing opportunities in the future? God's Word. And we're going to finish this series up today, and we're going to take a look at the passage that was our theme. Matthew 10, verse 16 to 18. Look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves, but beware. For you will be handed over to courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogue. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be what? Your opportunity to tell rulers and other believers about me. This will be your opportunity. So, understand the risk. We are sheep among wolves. That sounds pretty scary. You know why? It is. Have you ever seen what wolves do to sheep? It's risky. Armin Geswein said, when God is about to do something great, he starts with a difficulty. When he is about to do something truly magnificent, he starts with an impossibility. Do you have an impossibility in your life? God says, I love those. There are risks as we follow Jesus. He never promised us a smooth path. He promised us his presence. He promised us power. He promised us that we would overcome together. So understand the risk and then always be aware of what's happening around you. The snake in that image, how many of you are going to be so sad that you don't get to look at that snake after the series is over? How many of you just hate that snake? But his eyelids are transparent. They're never closed. He's always watching. And so in this series, we took a look at a number of things. So let's just quickly retrace our steps. Remember, you are still in the world to shine. That's why you're here. Do you have a pulse? Then you have a purpose. We're still in the world to shine. We took a look at men. Men need to win the battle of wimping out. Adam wimped out. So focus on obeying God and what he said in his word instead of listening to the other voices in our culture. Women, trust God's design to be a well-matched helper. And then marriage. The marriage passage actually starts in Ephesians 5:21, where it says, submit to one another as to Christ. Submit to one another. And so marriage is set yourself under your spouse to give what you don't need. Serve your spouse by giving what they need, not what you need. Because if a man with diarrhea meets a man with constipation, they will give each other the wrong medication. They will. And if a man treats his wife like she's a man, like he does other men, that won't work. If a woman talks to her husband like she talks to her woman friends, that won't work. Treat your spouse as your spouse. The government, the church, and the family must stay in their lanes. Remember, we took a look at that. They each have their lane, and they can't get out of their lane or there'll be trouble. Give thanks to God as you utilize your freedoms. We talked about the three government workers, Daniel, Joseph, and Esther. And then use your influence to spread the light. And experience Jesus in your day-to-day life. That is an overview of where we've come this year. Why do we need to be aware of all these different things that are going on? Because we don't want to miss the opportunity. And now that you know this, what are you going to do about it? Now that you know this, how are you going to take advantage of the opportunities that are coming your way? How can we do that? We're going to take a look at what Paul says about opportunities in Ephesians chapter 5. Jesus said, but this will be your opportunity. So Paul picks up on that in verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So take advantage of your opportunity. How? First of all, be very careful. The word careful, there is the word for see. And the idea is to see carefully, to discern, to discover. Like a serpent with transparent eyelids. Proverbs 21:29 says, the wicked bluff their way through, but the virtuous think before they act. What a novel idea. Thinking before you act. That's a great idea. We should probably do that, right? Think before you act. Give thought to the way you live your life. Give thought to the events that you go to. Give thoughts to the things that you post on the internet that will be there permanently. Give thought to what you do. Stop, look, and listen. Stop the pace of your life. Look into God's word and listen to His Spirit. Paul goes on to say, making the most of every opportunity. This is your moment. This is your moment. Every opportunity. It literally means time. The word there is kairos, and it means a special amount of time, a limited period of time, basically making the most of every time period. This is your time. Opportunity only knocks once. Delayed obedience is not obedience. If you say, I'm going to do it, eventually, that is disobedience. Let me explain it this way. Your car is on a railroad track, and somebody yells at you and says, get your car off the track, a train is coming, and you say, okay, I will do that in 10 minutes. It's not going to work. You're going to obey at some point in the future. That delayed obedience is disobedience. And we're going to miss opportunities if that is how we think of those times. Opportunity knocks once. This is your moment, so pray for Bob. Pray for Bob. Not this Bob, but you can pray for that Bob as well. Here's Bob, the B, burden. Pray for a burden. God, give me a burden. Give me compassion for people. So many times it says, and Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion on them. I love that word. In the original language, it's the word splagnizomai. Isn't that a fun word? Splagnizomai. And what the word comes from, we get the word spleen from that word. What does it mean? It said when Jesus saw the people and their needs, his gut was wrenched with the needs of the people. And we see so many needs. If you watch any television at all, you see this commercial, and there's starving children here, and there's this happening there. And what happens is that we eventually just turn down our compassion. Yeah, bad stuff all over. I get it. No, pray, God, give me a burden. Give me compassion for people. And then, number two, opportunity. God, give me an opportunity. God, you open doors. If you give me an opportunity, I'll follow up on it. God, if you open a door, I will walk through that door. And then, boldness. Burden, opportunity, and boldness. God, give me boldness. Because we need it. I need it. Because God will, out of the blue, God will give you an opportunity. I was having a conversation with a barista, I think it was this week or maybe last week, and for some reason they were talking about how people act as children, and I said, oh, I was a terrible child. And I told her a little bit about my childhood, and she said, well, what happened to you? Did you marry well? How are you the person you are today? And I said, immediately, I knew exactly what to say. I met Jesus, and he changed my life. And she said, well, I'm going to thank Jesus for what he did for you. And so it's just opportunities like that that God will give each one of us. And what we need to do is pray for that person, and then somebody else is going to say something like that to her, and somebody else, and somebody else, and before long they're going to go, everybody is talking to me. Years ago, I was at a conference, and I met a guy. We were waiting in line at the restaurant in the hotel, as everybody in the hotel was waiting for, and so we were talking in line, and he said, well, why don't, if it's okay with you, he said, why don't we eat together? That way, you know, there'll be more room for other people. I was okay. And so we started talking, and I started sharing my faith with this guy. And he was like, what's wrong with you Christians? Why are you people always telling me about Jesus? No matter where I go, people are telling me about Jesus. And it was like, somebody's praying for this guy, and myself and other people are following God's prompting and are speaking to him about Jesus. Pray for Bob. Pray for a burden. Pray for compassion. Pray for an opportunity. And then pray for boldness when God opens that door, that you'll walk through that door. Proverbs 10:5 says, a wise son harvests in the summer, but one who sleeps during harvest is a disgrace. Timing matters. What if you harvest in January? What if you plant in November? You have to harvest in harvest season. You've worked hard. You've worked the soil. You've planted. You've weeded. And then you'll waste everything if you don't harvest at the right time. And so take that opportunity. A couple weeks ago, we took a look at Esther. And Esther had an opportunity. It says in Esther 4:14, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to this royal position for such a time as this. When that passage was translated from Hebrew into Greek, they used the very same word for time that Paul used for opportunity in Ephesians 5. Kairos used that very same word. This is your time. This is your moment. God placed Esther there for that specific moment. Obey in that moment. Paul says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Make the most of it. Make the most of it. That's a beautiful word. It comes from two words. One part of the word means out of, and the other part of the word, the root word, means mall, agora. It's the shopping area. And those of you who went to Egypt, we went to that big shopping area, and you go in there, and there's just always people trying to sell you something. And the only way you buy there is you barter. You barter for everything. If you say, 20 pounds, and you give them 20 pounds, you are getting ripped off. You got to barter. And that's the idea behind this word, for making the most of it. Bartering, getting the best deal. Every day we spend our life, are you getting a good deal? Are you getting a bargain for your life? For each moment of your life, are you getting a bargain for your life? The average life is about 2.5 billion seconds. 2.5 billion seconds. And so I just guessing with numbers, you will have in those 2.5 billion seconds probably a million opportunities. And in those million opportunities, you will have one life-altering, world-changing opportunities. You'll have one opportunity. Like Esther was for that time, for that specific time, God placed her on earth. God placed her as queen for that specific time. God has a moment for you. God has an opportunity. How do you know when that moment is? You don't. You just have to obey God in every single opportunity. And one of those opportunities you'll realize later on has been the opportunity God put you on this planet. And you don't want to miss that opportunity. I don't want you to miss that opportunity to put in all the harvest, all the work on the harvest, and miss that opportunity is to miss the harvest. You're here for a reason. You've been through what you've been through for a reason. Now God wants to harvest that. And it'll happen in a moment. And we need to be ready. We need to be ready for that moment. And one of the problems in that moment is that we have a brain. And we try to do things with our brain. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. Let's say your car needs some oil. And the red light goes on, and you need oil. And so you get your Valvoline 5W20, right? And you get your oil. And somehow, you get a little bit of oil on your finger. Oh, and you get it in your mouth. And you think, that is horrible stuff. What am I putting this horribly tasting stuff? Why am I putting this horrible stuff in my car? And using your 3-pound brain, you go into your house And you say, well, I know what I'm going to do. I know it. It looks almost the same. Pure maple syrup. Right? Oh, that's so much better. And you put the maple syrup in your car instead of motor oil. And then, Martin, what's going to happen after that? It's going to be bad. And God has given us the instructions. God has given us His word, but we think, oh, I know so much better than God does. And we simply have to obey and stop thinking we're smarter than God. Now, everything we've talked about in this series is a part of the fabric of our culture. The family, men and women, government, marriage, it's all a part of the fabric. But it's strong, but also very fragile. And we can just pull that apart one at a time and just go around there and we can make an afternoon of it and just pull this apart. And before you know it, in what we're going to have, this right here was a piece of burlap just like that. And I just pulled it all apart. It was a lot of fun. This is what's happening to our culture. This is what God wants to do with your obedience. This is why God gives you opportunities. He wants to rebuild and reweave the fabric of our culture through your obedience, through my obedience, through us using our opportunities. Satan's role is he was called the man of lawlessness, but God is the God of order. This is your opportunity. Your life is your opportunity. Would you stand with me? How do you prepare for your opportunity? First, you confess sin. If there's any sin in your life, confess it. Make it right. And then you give God permission. Wait, you have to, isn't God God? No. You have a free will and you give God permission. Say, God, you can do anything you want with my life. And then you commit yourself to God and you say, God, if you give me an opportunity, I'm sorry. God, when you give me an opportunity, I will take that opportunity. I will obey you. Let's pray and tell God that right now. Take this opportunity right now. If there's anything you need to confess to God, do it right now. And then wave your white flag. Surrender to God. Say, God, I'm all yours. Everything, lock, stock, and barrel, I'm all yours. And they then tell God, God, the answer is yes. Now, what's the question? I will take that opportunity. God, give me an opportunity. Open a door, and I will walk through that. Father, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to do in and through our lives. You tell us that you're going to do things that are measurably beyond what we can think or imagine. And so we trust you to do that. We're committed to obeying you in the opportunities, in the moments of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.